At this time also, if the kids would like to be dismissed for junior church, they can do that. And the rest of you, if you would turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Just before Pastor Craig comes up here, Romans 8, verse 28 reads, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." May the Lord bless the reading of His word. Let's pray. Father, thank You again for this day, and thank You for being faithful to us. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for giving us Your word, and I just pray as we have time now, as Pastor Craig teaches, I just pray that You will challenge us through Your word and guide and direct in this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Dave. Well, we come to the last chapter in Acts, and Lord willing, we will finish that chapter next week. But for this week, we're going to look at the first 16 verses of chapter 28, Book of Acts. And I want to start this morning by showing you two brief video clips. And they're kind of going to demonstrate the sort of thing we're going to look at this morning. But this first clip is of a man who works for the railroad. In fact, I think both of these have kind of gone viral on the internet, so maybe you've seen these before. But the first clip is of a man who works for the railroad. He is out on his job, simply doing what he's supposed to be doing, and then seemingly out of nowhere, he encounters something that he never expected. Go ahead and do that one, Bobby.
You want to stop with it?
No. Can you imagine? Now, obviously, he works for the railroad. I don't know if he had earplugs in, what the deal was, but that's the end of the film right there. That was an unexpected day at work. The next one, one more short clip, and this is of a man in a race doing what he believes he needs to do to win the race. And it's both of these are kind of poor video quality, but this one's a little better. But in an instant, he encounters something that he never, never expected. It's actually going to go through twice. Go ahead. A believer or not, but it's like the hands of God were right there putting him back on. Now, the point I want to make here is both of these men, all they were doing was what they were supposed to be doing anyway. And seemingly out of nowhere, they encountered something that they never expected. They never saw it coming. And the most important part here, in particular with the second one, is after the event, he just kept on going. He continued. He continued on even after this unexpected thing. Here's what's taken place in the past few chapters of Acts. Paul, if you remember, he had a great desire to minister and share the gospel in Rome. He wanted to go there. He had mentioned in several letters that he'd hoped to go there. in the midst of one of Paul's darkest times, as he was kind of puzzled as to what was going on in his life, and he's in prison in Jerusalem, the Lord told him, he came to him, stood by him, and said, Paul, you will be going to Rome. You're going to go to Rome. Paul then waited for years to be released from prison so that he could go where God wanted him to. But it was God's plan that Paul would go as a prisoner. And en route, he encountered some things that he never saw coming. You can put that map up there if you want to. We actually, last Sunday, if you remember, made it to Malta. We're going to get the rest of the way this morning. And we're not going to make much reference to the map, but you can follow it along if you like. But en route, Paul encountered some things that he never saw coming. He never planned on these things. And we need to know that as a child of God, God has a purpose and a plan for our lives as well. He wants us to be doing what he has called us to do. Our Rome, knowing that Paul was called to Rome, our Rome or our calling may not be a place, but it might be. Okay? Our Rome might be a specific ministry, something that, a duty, okay? A service. It may be our occupation. It might be a particular people group. It might be a specific church family. It might be a specific need to fill in our community. But regardless of what it is, we need to know that as we move in the direction that God wants us to move, we may, or I should say, we will encounter some things en route that we never saw coming. Some things that were completely unexpected. And so that we might be better prepared, we're going to look at what Paul encountered this morning. Our subject is En route to Rome from Acts chapter 28. We're going to look at verses 1 through 16. And we've already seen many things that Paul has encountered in the past few chapters. But this morning, the things we're going to see are unexpected. Chapter 28 opens up with all 276 people who are on that ship that crashed on the shore of Malta, now safely on shore, at this point an unknown island. They had traveled the Mediterranean Sea during the most treacherous time of the year. Paul warned them and expected that this trip would end disastrously, and as a result, they became lost at sea, now finally washed up on the shore of this unknown island. And this is what we read in the beginning of chapter 28 and the first four verses of that chapter. Let's look at that. It says, "And when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live.'" The first unexpected thing that Paul encountered here is Paul encountered unforeseen opposition. Unforeseen opposition. Now, many would say that Paul knew or foresaw that his seaward journey would end in a disaster, okay? In fact, back in chapter 27, verse 10, Paul said to the captain of the guard and the crew, he said, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end in a disaster." So he knew that. But now, here they are shipwrecked on the island of Malta. But Paul also had some unforeseen opposition. These were seemingly little things that could cause great damage to the mission. We in this country, we have suffered two great space shuttle tragedies, two of them. Both the voyage of the Challenger and the Columbia shuttles met grave destruction. But at the beginning of their voyage, one at the beginning, one near the end of its voyage. But with both of them, with both of these, all systems were go for the mission. With both of these, the mission were clear. They were approved. With both of these, those involved were doing exactly what they needed to be doing. With both of these, it was a tiny little unforeseen issue or malfunction that caused such grave destruction. One an O-ring, the other some missing tiles. And they never saw it coming. They never saw it coming. These involved never dreamed that such a small thing could bring them to such a complete and utter stop. Well, what kind of opposition did Paul not see coming in this mission? Well, the first thing is a snake. A snake. Can you imagine? Think about this for a minute. Paul, on this journey, on this voyage, he had just got done, he and the crew, living through weeks of rough, stormy seas, weeks of near starvation, a disastrous shipwreck on the rocky shore of Malta, breakers that threatened to drown them before they made it to shore. And then, on top of that, the soldiers wanted to execute all the prisoners. You remember that? And after all of that, Paul's demise is a snake bite. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Some have imagined that this was the work of Satan himself. And I don't doubt that. Satan loves to throw little things out there in front of us to distract us, to stop us from what God wants us to do. As Paul and the rest of the crew lived through this shipwreck, they learned that they were on the inhabited island of Malta. The people were friendly and compassionate. They welcomed these shipwreck victims, built a fire to warm their bones, and I'm sure Paul wasn't the only one out gathering wood that day. But as Satan would have it, it was Paul that this snake latched onto. So a little thing, the snake, after all of this, threatened to stop this mission. Secondly, he encountered a false rumor. A false rumor. Some of the inhabitants of this island, not even knowing the whole story, not knowing what God's plan was for Paul, not knowing anything, having no idea of God's plan and purpose for Paul, they spoke out of ignorance. They shared their opinion. Upon these natives learning that Paul and several others were prisoners, they concluded for themselves, Paul, he must be a murderer. Because even though he survived the shipwreck, now our God of justice is going to get him through this snake. No matter how effectively we follow God, there will always be opposition like this. Little things that cause us to think, well, wow, maybe this isn't God's direction for me. And there'll be those little things that will try to stop us. Paul encountered a snake and some false rumors. Now, I actually happen to know a missionary whom God had called to Malta. He called him to Malta. He and his wife loved the Lord. Their desire was to serve the Lord. They had a burden for the people and the place of Malta. They were confident of their calling. However, they spent less than 1 year in Malta and then came home for good. Why? Their home in Malta got broken into one time. And they said, that's it. We can't take it here. We can't take this. And they came home. They came home. Now, trying to put this together. Something to think about is I don't even know if they're in ministry today. I don't know what they're doing today. But one thing that I do know is wherever they are, there are homes being broken into. But they let this thing stop them from what they believed was God's call in their life. Don't let the small things stop you. Watch out for those small, unforeseen things. It may be somebody saying something to you. It may be a physical accident. It might be a snake bite. I don't know. Don't let it stop you. Paul was obedient, and as a result of his obedience and his continuing on, listen to verses 5 and 6. Paul here was protected. It says, "But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god." Now, obviously, Paul was not a god, but he was a servant of God. He was serving by fetching firewood. He was serving the passengers as he led them through this treacherous journey. And he was serving God by going to Rome. And God protected him. He protected him. Listen to what the Lord said about the disciples of these early days. This is from Mark 16, 18. It says, "And they will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them, and they will lay hands on the sick, and they will not, and they will recover." And we're going to see the second half of that here in a minute. But that's God's protection. Not only did the early disciples have a unique message validating powers, but they were protected by the Lord. And that is a protection, really, that as we are moving in the direction that God wants us to move, He will bless it. He will bless it. As we seek God's purpose in our plan, God's purpose and plans for our life, we must know that unforeseen opposition will arise. But serve God anyway. Serve God anyway. Paul encountered unforeseen opposition. Secondly, this morning, Paul encountered unforeseen appreciation. This is the flip side of opposition. And let's read verses 7 through 10, and then we'll look at this a little bit. It says, "In that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went in to him and prayed, and he laid hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. They also honored us in many ways. And when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary." Paul encountered unforeseen appreciation. And again, this is the flip side of this opposition. And normally, appreciation is a great thing. Appreciation is a good thing. But one reason that it might not be great is if it keeps us from our calling. I went to Bible school with a man who had worked for Intermountain Healthcare in northern Utah. He had a very, very high-paying job, and he did it very well. He'd been doing it for many years. But the Lord then called him into full-time ministry, and for months, He was telling and informing his bosses that, you know, I will be going. I'm going to go to Bible school, and I'm going to become a pastor. And he told them, you'd better find a replacement for me. Well, they didn't believe that he would leave such a job. No way is he going to leave this and step down into the unknown. They didn't believe him. In fact, they kept not believing him until the day of his departure, and they still had not filled the position. Well, backing up just a few seconds, about a month before he left, he kept informing them going to be leaving. They ended up offering him an unbelievable raise. And he said, "You guys don't get it. I'm leaving. Anyway, they never filled the position. He ended up leaving. And when it came time to leave, he left. Watch out for that unforeseen appreciation, though. It could keep us from our calling. And I'm sure that this unforeseen appreciation at Malta was something that Paul never saw coming. As a result of living through this deadly snake bite, of course, we read this already, they considered Paul a god. This resembles the experience that Paul and Barnabas had early on in their ministry as they healed a cripple at Lystra. And unbeknownst to them, all of a sudden, all these guys at Lystra started gathering sacrifices, and they were going to worship them as gods. And Paul and Barnabas had to put a stop to it, saying, "No, we're mere men just like you as well." But they considered him a god. That's appreciation. They enjoyed Paul's company. The leader of the island opened his home to them and for 3 days took care of them. While there, Paul learned that Publius' father was very ill. So Paul, once again, being the servant, went to him, prayed for him, laid hands on him, and healed him. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover, just like that Mark passage says. And this led to all the rest of the sick people of the island coming to Paul, and Paul healed them. He healed them. Once again, while we are not told here directly, we can assume that just like every other place that Paul ever visited, he shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. He shared that man is a sinner, disqualified from the presence of God. He shared that they were doomed to eternal separation from God in hell. He shared that Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, came to earth to live that perfect sinless life and then die on a cross as a sacrifice for our sins. He was buried and then rose again the third day to prove his victory over sin and death. And I'm sure he shared that that is now offered. It is a free gift. The free gift of salvation is there for anyone who has simply placed their faith in who Jesus is and what he has done. Because that is the message that Paul preached everywhere he went. And even so, it says they enjoyed Paul's company. They respected and honored Paul. What a difference this place is from virtually every other place that Paul had ever gone in his missionary travelings. This is the first place that Paul has ever spent an extended amount of time that didn't end up in him being beaten, stoned, a riot, or some kind of controversy. These people actually liked Paul. They liked his ministry. They liked his message the whole time that he was there. And then as they did leave, after all, Paul was still a prisoner being extradited to Rome, they provided for Paul and company. Verse 10 says this, it says, "They also honored us in many ways. And when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary." And again, we have to ask, what is the downside of all of this? Why is this something that we need to be aware of as we are en route to our Rome or our calling? What's so bad about being appreciated and respected? Well, nothing, so long as it doesn't keep us from where God wants us. Put yourself in Paul's shoes for a minute. Oh, how Paul could justify ministering permanently at Malta instead of Rome. There was a need here, obviously. They love me here. They're Gentiles, just like God called me to. No Jews, no riots. They're listening to my message. I could live here. I could live here. But that is not where God wanted Paul. Paul sought God's goal. God told him he was going to Rome, and to Rome he was going. And Paul was not just going to Rome because he was a prisoner of Rome. He was going to Rome because he was first a prisoner of Christ, captive to do his will. I want to read to you from Ephesians chapter 3 for a minute. Ephesians chapter 3, I'm going to read verse 1 along with verses 14 through 21. And this really describes not only why Paul is so in tune with doing what God wants him to do, but it's a prayer for us that we would be too. He says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." And then he ends by saying this, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." And this Ephesians passage, again, not only describes why Paul is captive to do God's will, but it's a prayer that we would be too. And it also leads us perfectly into the final point this morning. The last thing that we may never see coming in our en route to our Rome. And this is a great thing. This is a great thing. Paul encountered unforeseen provision. He never saw coming what was about to happen. Because Paul heeded God's call, he was blessed beyond expectation. I heard about a social experiment, and actually I was sharing this with the youth group on Tuesday. A social experiment in which they took a man, an actor, and they dressed him in ragged clothes like he was a homeless person, and they laid him on a park bench like he was asleep, put a newspaper over his face, and there he lay, completely asleep. And they had hidden cameras, and what they did was they took a $100 bill, and they stuck it to the bottom of his foot, like it got stuck there accidentally, as he's laying on this bench, sleeping. Okay? And then they watch people's reactions. And people would walk by, they'd notice it, and they'd kind of look around a little bit, see if anybody's watching. They'd snatch the bill and walk off. Others would walk by and notice it, and they'd kind of circle around and come by again so they could snatch it. And here they are, you know, they're making $100. And there's some ethical argument here. Does the money really belong to the homeless person, or is it there for me? Well, the final guy of the little film that they did in this experiment, he's obviously a businessman, well-dressed. He's just walking at a quick pace down the sidewalk past this park bench with this guy laying there. And without even skipping a beat, he walks by, snatches the $100 bill, stuffs it into the jacket of the homeless guy, and continues on. Neat, right? Everybody else, they got $100 out of the deal, or 20. I don't know what the bill was for real, but they got some money out of the deal. But this guy, because he was focused, he was heeding. If he was a Christian, he was heeding the Spirit, okay? And he just walked by, not skipping a beat, and he became the hero of the movie. he became the hero. Everybody else, they got something good out of it. Couple bucks cash. This guy became the hero of the movie. For Paul, it would have been good to minister in Malta. And I don't know if he was even thinking that he wanted to. I think he was like that businessman, so focused on getting to where God wanted him that nothing disrupted it. But the point being is there was that unforeseen appreciation that took place. It could have been a temptation, but now because of his obedience, he has this unforeseen provision. Believers rallied around Paul. I didn't read the passage. Let's read verses 11 through 16. It says, "After 3 months, we sailed in an Alexandrian ship whose figurehead was the twin brothers which had wintered at the island. And landing at Syracuse, we stayed 3 days. From there, we circled around and reached Regium. And after a day, the south wind blew, and the next day we came to Puteoli, where we found brethren, and were invited to stay with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and Three Inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Now when he came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him." Believers rallied around Paul here. For the time being, Paul was a hero. It was like a hero's welcome. As Paul was en route to Rome, many believers heard about it and they came to see him. Some traveled great, great distances, but the neatest part about all of this is Paul had never been to Italy. He'd never been to Italy. There may have been some people involved there that saw him in some of the other cities in Asia or Greece that he visited, but he had never been to Italy. And here, all of these people are coming from far and wide to see Paul. Paul could have never seen that blessing coming. Believers rallied around him. Believers encouraged Paul. This encounter with all these believers, many of which Paul had never even met, gave him courage. In fact, it says that he thanked God and took courage. And then Paul was now, after all of these years, get this, he's now ministering in Rome. He made it. Paul dreamed about ministering in Rome for years, and now here he finally was. He made it. And Luke, I don't know Luke. One day I will know Luke. But listen to all of this hoping, all of the preparations, and this is how Luke puts it. Verse 16, "Now when we came to Rome," just so nonchalantly, no, Paul made it to Rome. He made it to Rome. He was finally there, and it all began because Paul had a great desire to minister and share the gospel there. In the midst of one of Paul's darkest times, in a prison in Jerusalem, the Lord told him, "You will go." And now, here he is, years and years later, finally there. It was God's plan. Something else to think about here, too, is Paul, I'm thinking, probably thought that he would make it to Rome just like he did all of his other missionary journeys, okay? But get this, God had it planned that he would come as a prisoner. And here he is, blessed beyond what he could even ask or imagine. While Paul knew he would go to Rome someday, he probably thought it would be in the same way of all his other missionary journeys, but this was better. This was better. It was actually because of Paul's enemies. Because of his enemies that Paul got to Rome. It was because of his enemies that Paul was sent to Rome. It was because of the Romans that Paul got to Rome. The entire trip was financed by Rome. And Paul was now even protected by Rome as he ministered. Well, what's the main reason for a guard at along with Paul? A guard being posted with Paul here. What's the main reason? So that he wouldn't escape, right? So that he wouldn't escape. But what else did it accomplish? He had a bodyguard. He had a bodyguard in Rome. We learned from other passages of Scripture that Paul was on house arrest in Rome. He had his own house, and he could have people come and visit him almost at will. He had a bodyguard the whole time. Wow. Now, it would only be a few more years, and the conditions would change dramatically. Okay? But for the time being, he was in Rome ministering just the way he always wanted to. Paul encountered unforeseen provision. Who would have ever thought they would make it to Rome the way he did? There's no way that Paul could have seen all of this coming. And now, in hindsight, looking back on it, you could see the fingerprints of God all over it. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." That right there is really the importance of a call. It is the confidence to go where God wants us or do what God wants us to do, knowing that whatever unforeseen events might come up, we still go because God has called. Paul loved the Lord. Paul sensed a burden to go to Rome. That burden became a heartfelt desire. It was confirmed by a calling, and it was all worked together for Paul's good and God's glory. Just quickly here, I heard of another story about another man who was called into full-time ministry. He felt God's call to the ministry while he was working for a successful businessman. He began taking Bible courses at night and eventually obtained a Bible school degree. Prior to graduation, he too informed his boss that he would be leaving shortly to work as a pastor in a rural church. Neither the owner of the company nor his immediate boss believed him, and they neglected to find a replacement for him. Eventually, he told the boss that he really was leaving, and they needed to locate a replacement as soon as possible. The owner of the company, still doubting his sincerity, instructed his immediate boss, he said, "Offer him a $500 a week raise. And if he takes it, fire him on the spot." The servant of God may encounter some unforeseen things en route to his Rome, but the servant that stays the course will be blessed beyond what they can even ask or imagine. Let's pray this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, we do just thank you for, again, this glorious account of a faithful servant, and Lord, just your precious and perfect care of him. Thank you, Lord God, for the examples that we can look to in Paul. Thank you, Lord God, for the examples of what he encounters so that we too can know that unforeseen things will come up, and many of them are designed to veer us off course, to keep us from doing what you have called us to do. But Lord God, we thank you again just for the example of Paul's obedience and your perfect provision to him as a result of that obedience, so that we can know that when we follow you, when we go in the direction of our Rome, Lord, that you will bless it. You have great plans for us, Lord. Thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen.